It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always on a Sunday night during the Big Brother OTT season, I'm here with you to discuss what's going down in the Big Brother house with my boys, the live feed correspondents, the LFC. Let's introduce them to you if you are unfamiliar with them and you are new to this show. First is a man who was away for a while. We missed him greatly last week, but he is back where he belongs on the Happy Hour from Vegas, and he finished up. It's Brent Wolgemut, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am thrilled to be here. I know you guys have enjoyed Alex and Taryn giving their logical, reasoned, unbiased opinions of Big Brother, and you all have enjoyed that. But I am back, people, to spill the tea and rail these bitches because we got things to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you.
what did we do without you, Brent?
Right. Thank you.
I really don't know what we would do. Second is a man who is first place in Colin Stone's fantasy football league, but he didn't really pay attention to fantasy football today. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Yeah, Jordan, that's kind of par for the course. The things I really care about, those are the things that don't come together. The things I just kind of casually pay attention to, those are the things I'm undefeated in. What can you do?
Yeah, such Alex. Alex, what's the key to your, who's even on your team? I haven't even looked.
You know what's crazy? I'm 3-0, and then I got Le'Veon Bell coming back this week.
Oh,
so
wow!
You're in
geez.
Trouble. That whole league is toast, man.
Oh no!
I've got
no.
Marvin Jones. Like Marvin Jones is a good deep read.
He's great. Yeah.
There's really only weakness there. Anyway, I digress.
Thank you, Alex. Nobody cares about this but me, but I think this is very interesting. And just for the record, for you fantasy football fans out there, Colin Stone's 12-team fantasy football league, I'm playing Rob Cesternino this week, and I'm beating him 200-100 right now. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about myself. Anyway.
I beat him last week. Are we in trouble?
I don't know, Alex. Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. Last but not least is a man who also did not really watch Friends growing up, but is a big fan as well of the video game The Last of Us. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. The Last of Us is such a good game. I'm here. I'm back here again to lead this podcast like the leader I am, because, you know, Jason really recognizes me as a leader. He shouted me out on the feeds, and I just feel like such a leader right now.
Shut up, Monty.
I guess Taryn is like the closest to Monty on this panel, though, right?
Oh, so. Sure. No, I'm the one with the Tennessee background, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm the one. Alex, I'm the closest of the three of us to owning a coonskin hat. So, because I have relatives that own a coonskin hat. So, and Monty, you know, for those that aren't aware, Monty got a coonskin hat in his basket, and he's been walking around in his HOH robe with the key around his neck with the hat on like he's Davy effing Crockett about to go save us at the Alamo. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I've seen HOH-itis, but this guy, man, he's trying to take it to a new level, that's for sure.
Oh, well, I can't wait to get into it, Alex. It's going to be a very fun show. Just to set things up for you guys, so the live feed correspondents and I, we're going to talk about everything that's going down in BBOTT. Normally during Big Brother 18, I would give you guys a spoiler warning. Pretty much everybody that's watching OTT is cool with spoilers, but if for whatever weird reason that you are not okay with spoilers, then this is not the show for you, but I'm assuming that's like 0.01% of the people listening to this right now. So just setting things up for you, we're going to talk about what's going down. We're going to take your questions during the show, figure out what's just been happening in the house in general. Should be a lot of fun. You can get your questions in to me if you'd like. You can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RehappyHour, and we will get into those later on in the show. If you haven't already, if you want to watch Big Brother Over the Top and you haven't had the chance to get CBS All Access yet, you can also sign up by going to robisawebsite.com/BBOTT. So nice and simple for you if you haven't already got those. Last but not least, normally we have the chat room going on robinsonwebsite.com. A little bit of a hiccup on the show page today, so you won't see the chat embedded on there. But if you want to chat with some of the fellow listeners of the Rahappy Hour, you can go to chatwing.com/Rahappy Hour. So that's R-H-A-P-P-Y Hour. There's a couple of people over there chatting right now. So if you want to get in on the action, you can head over there and chat with some like-minded people. Okay, guys, let's jump right into it. Nominations are today. They have not happened yet, but they're going to happen very quickly here. Monty is the head of household, as Alex mentioned. He's got HOH-itis, and he has a clear target. Taryn, who is Monty gunning for, and who does he plan on putting next to him?
Monty is gunning for Jason. Mostly because he feels like Jason is a big threat, and he's played the game twice, and before Scott had come up and told me that he wasn't coming for me, I thought he was gonna come for me, and now I think I have to target him, and I keep saying words and none of them make any sense. But yes, Jason is his target, and he's thinking about putting Danielle up next to Jason as a pawn.
Okay, so Alex, why Danielle as the pawn here? Because from my perspective, I mean, if you're going to use Danielle as a pawn, I mean, I haven't seen too much of the feeds, but I saw some people complaining about her. Couldn't it be possible that, you know, things could get turned around and the vote could flip and she could go home instead of Jason?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially once, you know, America leaves any kind of an imprint on this game and people see that it's a little different than maybe they realized, or that maybe, you know, their actions are going to have consequences that they can't control on a level that they can't really control. It might, you know, cause people to play a little more timidly. But yeah, ultimately, the thing with Danielle is that she's, you know, you touched on it a little bit, but there's kind of this Danielle Shane showmance that's developed. And Monty is already like kind of like thinking about how that impacts like his end game, you know, like, well, Shane is supposed to be, me and Shane are supposed to be a two. And if Shane's got this other thing, then that means Shane won't be loyal to me. And it's like, dude, you can think about that at final five. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about it week one. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on. For the bulk of the weekend, the plan was to go Jason and Chrissy. And Chrissy today has been like really paranoid and freaking out and, you know, thinks Monty like didn't say hi to her in the morning. So she knows she's the target and all this kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it's and then Justin has been thrown around, too, casually because he's just such an enigma. People don't know
he's
what
Justin
to do with him.
A large part of it is that Monty, despite his, you know, bravado in saying, like, I'm going to make a big move and put blood on my hands, he's terrified of pissing people off. And he sees Chrissy as somebody who's going to be pissed off if he puts her up on the block. He feels like Shane has some control over Danielle. So if he puts Danielle up, there'll be less excitement. There'll be less friction if he does that. And it's a classic first HOH mistake. You think, okay, I'm going to put a target up and then somebody who I'm somewhat close to or somebody that is not going to be very upset that I put them up as a pawn, and that'll be perfect. I won't get any blood on my hands. But that never happens because people realize, oh, this person is close to the power and this person is against the power. I'm going to vote out the person that's close to the power.
Not only that, but like this contingent of girls that are, you know, Monty is protecting. Like Monty's been protecting like Alex, Morgan, Whitney. These girls all don't like Danielle. Like, it won't be that hard of a sell for Jason to be able to convince them to, like, just vote out Danielle. And then next week you can just say to Monty, we just didn't, it was just a Danielle thing. I mean, honestly, I thought, you know, the America gets to put up the third nominee. And it seemed like people, from what I've seen online, it seems like people are saying Shane or Cornbread, like some of these guys that are in this, like, guys alliance that Monty made early on. But really, I was thinking that America's best choice might be Danielle because that's someone on Monty's side that Monty's own teammates might be willing to turn on. And here he's going to like do basically the worst move. Like he's basically giving Jason everything he can to try to work his way out of this like admittedly unfortunate, you know, hole that he's found himself in this first week.
Brent, let's get your opinion on this. So what do you think the correct move then is for Monty? Because clearly putting up Danielle is a pretty risky one if you have Jason as your target and you're looking for a pawn. So, I mean, would it make sense for him to put up Chrissy, or where should Monty realistically go with this if he wants to have a better HOH?
Obviously, he should put up Chrissy. I don't understand why he's not. I mean, Chrissy's somebody he doesn't have any real connection with. I mean, I get that he's averse to conflict, and that's maybe what's causing this. It seemed like she did the Austin thing from BB17 where she literally like whined herself off the block. That's how it I perceived it anyway. And I by the way, going into the season, I really wanted to like Chrissy, but girl, no. Like, she has so much negative energy about her. I just can't, I don't really like her very much. And I'm really sad to say that because I felt like she could be a kindred spirit with some of the people maybe who are some of the they're not in the main alliance in the house. They're not the pretty people, you know, those kind of people I tend to gravitate to, but she's not really giving me much. I will say this really quickly. I kept waiting for you to ask me like how I like, I haven't been here. So like, Brent, how do you like this season as a whole? Like, well, what are you thinking about it? So
Brent, how do you like this season?
It's funny you should ask, actually. Thank you. Actually, I heard I was going to be replaced, so I need to get my ass back here really quickly. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be replaced. I was ambivalent about this season. You guys know that. I was honest about that on the feeds. But I really thought that maybe it was going to be something that I was going to like. I was really happy with the first HOH competition because it gave us something new. I mean, it was cheap as all hell, and it was great. I mean, like, well, I'm like, why don't they do more stuff like this? Like, this was great. I would much rather see this than a goddamn slip and slide for an hour and a half with people falling all over the place like they're in some cartoon or something. So
let's not be too quick to eliminate the faceplant slip and slide. I think that's a pretty vital part of what this.
Well, I think I fall in line with just my general.
But I'm with you.
My general feelings about this season, you know, I'm sure it will shock everybody that I actually do agree with Taryn. They're like, okay, we're going to give America a vote to nominate people, and we're going to give America a vote to evict. I'm like the little kid at Christmas who's getting underwear, and I'm like, I don't want this present. No. Like, I really don't. No, take it back. I don't want the vote, but it looks like that's going to – so I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it now, and, you know, we're going to go after the people that we really don't like, and I know who those people are for me. I tend to agree with most of the fan base. I really love Shelby. I love Justin. Like, give me more of these kind of people. Can't stand Monty, Shane, Cornbread, Girl Bye, like, and Whitney.
Brent, you hate Cornbread? That we never saw that coming. We could not. Right? We never saw that
crazy,
coming.
Crazy, huh? You know what? I don't know why. It makes me even more irritated with him that he's apparently such a fame whore. Like, he keeps trying to get himself onto stuff. Like, he was auditioning for Amazing Race. He's like he's won the redneck, whatever the hell it is, like, competition. Whoa. 3 years in a row or something. And yeah, he needs attention. And if you combine racism with people that need attention, you're getting dangerously close to the Republican nominee for president. So I can't really sign up for that. That's my problem with him. On the other hand, the other people in the house are very fun. And I really thought it was an eclectic group of people. People, as Alex said in a different podcast about this season, that you wouldn't find on a normal season of Big Brother. So do I like this season? I'm hopeful. I'm actually kind of stunned that they exceeded my expectations, because my expectations were low. I don't know about you two, Taryn and Alex, but my expectations were low for this season, and I like what I'm seeing thus far. I'm a little nervous about where it's going to head once they figure out not only does America have a nominee, but America gets to vote, because as Taryn and I talked about previously, when America has a vote, it's hard to make big moves happen because you don't know where that other vote's going to go. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and
then not only that, but I think this is a factor that, like, everyone of us who are just, you know, fans dissecting the game kind of discount, but if you're in the house, would really make me think about my strategy, is the have-not vote. Like, if you're doing stuff America doesn't like and they can make you a have-not every single week, like, dude, that sucks,
right?
Man.
Like, and they don't.
I might change my strategy and be like, dude, Jason Roy, can I be your number one? Like, I really might consider.
Now, I have
that.
A question, because I haven't been able to figure this out. Do the house guests know that we're voting on have-nots?
I don't think not yet.
And the house guests don't know that we're putting up a third nominee or that we have a vote for eviction, correct?
Nope.
No. Once all of these things come into vision for the house guests, I really do think that that's going to change the way a lot of them are thinking about this game.
Scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. I heard them talking about on the feeds, was it Monty or somebody, saying that they think America will appreciate the aggressiveness of this move to get Jason out. I'm like, are you high?
Dude, are you high? Brent, that is the most, like, first HOH thing ever, just to justify whatever it is you're doing by saying, yeah, they'll like it because it's aggressive. So yeah, of course America's. It's like, no, dude. Like, they hate you.
Well, let me say one quick thing because I want to get all my negative feelings out about this season right at the top. Monty, shut the F up. Like, I'm so tired of listening to him talk. I can't stand listening to him on the feeds. His voice literally annoys me more than Nicole. He's got HOH-itis out the yin-yang. Like Alex said, I turned on my feeds today, saw him walking around that goddamn coonskin cap and the HOH robe and the Tennessee Vols outfit earlier yesterday or whatever, and it's like, stop. And then he says, oh, I don't have power. I'm not power hungry. I know next week, you know, I might be down at the bottom of the barrel. I'm like, shut up. You're lying right now. And all these people can see right through you. They know exactly how you're behaving, like the typical alpha dog that wants to run the show. He's like Devin Bro without the class. That's what I got to say.
Wow. Okay.
It is funny to say that, like, yeah, you know, I think Brent's sentiments on cornbread are not unpopular, and on some of these players as well. And, you know, it does make you wonder. It's like we've had so many, like, likable Southern characters, you know, in recent seasons. And I do wonder if they just kind of, like one too many straws. They just kind of, like, broke the bank here. And, I don't think a lot of these people are going to be fan favorites. So it's a little bit different. It's interesting.
By the way, this is the worst kind of season for a guy like Cornbread, because he says a lot of, like, off-color things / you know, getting close to racist things.
He's
on the
no
feeds.
Donnie Thompson.
Yeah. No. And they're literally showing everything. Like, there's no blackouts. There's no, you know, like, come back later. There's no competitions that we don't get to see on the feeds that they can edit. We're seeing
no fish.
Everything. Exactly. Yeah. We're seeing everything. And so the cameras are always on him. And so he's going to, I'm telling you, like, if he's not evicted, America's going to not like him by the end. I'm seeing shades of Big Brother 15.
Taryn, jump in here. You had something you wanted to say earlier, but you couldn't get a word in. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, it's apropos because I cannot stand Monty. He drives me insane. And a large part of it is because he does not shut up. He does not let other people talk. And it just eats away at me. Like, watching him have a conversation with Scott, with Jason, with pretty much anybody, he just constantly talks over them. He will not let them get a single word in. It's so infuriating.
Oh, like, my God. I know, right? He's so terrible. Like,
It's the worst.
It's funny.
It's so bad.
I thought you were throwing shade at me at first, and then I'm like, wait, he's not throwing shade at me, he's throwing shade at Monty. And then I'm like, no, this bitch is definitely throwing shade at me. Like, I'm really
you don't do it anywhere near to the extent that he does. Like, he does it with everybody, and it's so insanely annoying because everything he says is completely meaningless. He has seriously mastered the art of talking and not saying a single thing. It drives me insane. I can't hear him. I can't listen to him on the feeds. His voice is just like automatic mute in my brain. I can't deal with it.
This is so funny.
He's got to be so vocal. And then, like, yeah, like, listening to him, I believe yesterday, and he's talking about how he's like the conversation basically revolved around the fact that he was 100% sure HOH does not play in veto.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And, like,
wow.
he was so confident about it that he, like, began to convince, like, Whitney, who's actually a fan, that she might be wrong about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whitney
was doubting herself. I'm not going to do the accent again, but
this is great. I've never seen Taryn get so irritated by somebody so quickly. Like, I love the natural fan reactions that are emanating from him. Like, it's really fun to see.
Taryn, who do you like better, Beast Mode Cowboy or Monty?
Oh, easily Beast Mode.
I was going to say, it's not even close.
Okay. Wow.
Not even close.
Okay, because I don't know. Monty must be terrible. Okay, sounds good. So we talked about Cornbread a little bit. I'll get into him in a little bit later. I want to talk a little bit more about the nominations. So, yes, America is going to be voting for another nominee, as Brent mentioned. That vote opens up tonight after the nomination ceremony. Alex, we do not know when those nominations are going to be revealed, correct?
I think I saw it was like 10 p.m. Big Brother time.
Right? That's what I heard, too.
Pretty late.
Oh, the first two nominees are going to get nominated, and then later tonight we're going to find out the third nominee.
Third nominee is tomorrow, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
10
yeah.
p.m.
And then, like, a veto is played tomorrow afternoon. Correct.
10 p.m. Yes. 10 p.m. tonight starts the ceremony, so that's going to take another half hour to get down to the nominees. So maybe like at 10:45 we'll know who the nominees are tonight, and then I think the voting is open for 12 hours for the America's third nominee, and so sometime tomorrow afternoon we'll find out who the nominee is, and then, like I said, like they said, veto happens.
Okay. And again, so, we're talking house time. So East Coast, that's
very late.
Really late.
Yes.
I can't wait to see. I'm sorry, really quickly. I can't wait to see Cornbread's face because I think he's going to get nominated as America's third choice. And I bet he thinks he's absolutely loved by America. He is the kind of guy who thinks he's loved. And when he gets nominated and he sees his face on the screen, girl, it's the face crack of the century. Like, I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be there with my popcorn and my Coke and my water. I'm down for it.
Oh, yeah. It's great TV, but it again reminds me of the whole thing, like, never before has America been given this power. Like, it's David Gurton face that we're looking for when he realizes he's been nominated by the MVP. And he's like, what? He just looks like he got smacked upside the head and he doesn't know where it came from. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, that's a great, great
moment.
Well,
this one's even better because Cornbread is going to know where it came from. Bitch, it came from us. We put your ass on the block.
Yeah, we should set up what this ceremony is, because I'm sure a lot of people listening, you know, have a hard time catching up and keeping
up
with what's
Taryn.
Going on.
That's where I was going. So, Taryn, yeah. Could you please explain first? I was trying to lead into this. I wanted to talk about the safety ceremony that was yesterday. Does that have any impact on America's nominee that's going to happen tomorrow?
As far as we know, it has nothing to do with it. The people
So what exactly was the safety ceremony? How did that work, and how is that different from you know, regular nominations?
So basically, what happens is they all go and get a nomination pass.
Block pass.
A necklace.
Yeah,
necklace.
Which is basically one of those like things you get at a restaurant that like buzzes green when your table is ready.
Yes.
The Applebee's like table holder ribbon, basically.
Yeah, you wear it around your neck.
And it kind of looks also like maybe like what a field trip would have. Like if your school went on a field trip, like everyone would be wearing some kind of like identifying thing. Reminds me of that too.
Yeah. And so basically Monty goes up into the HOH room, and over the course of about a half an hour, he is told to choose somebody that's safe on the safety board that's in the HOH room, which is basically just, you know, has all of the pictures of the house guests on it. And when you push it, it lights up green, and their corresponding necklace lights up green. And that means that they're safe.
Fancy.
And so over the course of this half hour, like every 7 or so minutes, he's told, you know, choose the next person. And meanwhile, the house guests are just roaming around the house doing their own thing, not even really reacting at all when they're finally, you know, safe. Like, it was way too drawn out. It would have been a lot more exciting, I think, if they had to stay in the living room sitting around in a circle and he did it a lot more quickly, because then there would have been a little tension around it and they would have been talking about it more. But it like some other things that they've done in this season, they drew it out for a little while, and I expect they'll continue to do that. Hopefully this time, because the last two people who aren't safe will be nominated, it'll be a little more exciting seeing that tension of, like, who's going to be that last person who's safe.
And not only that, but this is a house with nothing to do, and then you're going to put up there, like, a wall with everyone's face and buttons by him, and he's going to have to, like, just touch one every 5 minutes. Like, I couldn't help myself. I'd be touching all the buttons. That's fun. That's something to do. And, I don't like it because it's not conducive to...
Alex, we're going to need you to come to the diary room. Yeah, you can just leave.
Yeah, well, how is he going to just, like... I don't have the discipline when it comes to buttons. There's nothing to do in that house.
I will keep that in mind when we're in New York together.
I'll hit all the elevator buttons and step out. I'll do that. Okay. To you.
All right. I can't wait.
No button discipline.
No. Okay. So after the safety ceremony, Neely, Whitney, Cornbread, Shane, and Morgan were all pronounced as safe. Taryn, what is even the point of this? Because from my knowledge, or basically with what you just said, America can still nominate these people. They can still go up after the veto ceremony. So this is basically just the nominations getting dragged out an extra day, no?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think that's the point. I feel like they have this idea that because they don't have, like, produced shows, and instead they have these ceremonies, that they want to drag them out and give people more stuff to watch on the feeds. But again, and I do like the general idea, because what it does is it changes the dynamic of the nominations, because now half the House is safe and half the House is not safe, and that changes things. And there's obviously also strategy that goes into who you're making safe and when. Maybe there's a situation in the future where somebody is made safe and then the head of household regrets it and wishes they could nominate them the next week or the next day. And then there's also the thing of just like, as it gets down to it, you know, now there's a smaller pool of people to campaign against when you're up for nomination, essentially, which is also an interesting twist on the strategy. But again, it's just a little drawn out for too long. I think it would be better if it was condensed a bit more.
Yeah, I don't really like this. I think it's just a waste of time. Brent, what do you think about it?
I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance. On the other hand, I was watching Monty come down, and he had to make this big show of, you know, you guys don't think that I did these in any specific order or anything, because you don't know what I'm thinking. I might be lying to you or something. I mean, like, it was just, he handled it so terribly. It was bad. And
you might have just barely made it in. Who knows? Right? Maybe I hate you.
And It was total bull, too, because the people that he made safe were basically the people he was never, ever, 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 ever considering nominating at all. Like, Danielle wasn't there, and he wasn't really thinking about nominating her the previous day that I saw, anyway. I mean, that's only come up recently. So, I mean, to me, it was always going to be Jason and Chrissy, maybe Justin, you know, maybe Danielle was on the periphery, I don't know, but and, you know, just so you guys know, I mean, like I said, I just got back from Vegas, so I've been trying to catch up on the feeds and figure out exactly what's happening. Obviously, in a short amount of time, I can only watch so much flashback feeds, but from what I've seen, like, the people that he was closest to, he made safe during the first pass at nominations, with the exception of, say, Neely, who's been, you know, a really sweet gal, and maybe he never considered nominating her to begin with. But aside from that, everyone else was in his main alliance.
It's interesting. I'm sure somebody could, like, write a paper on, like, how everyone who's ever played Big Brother, like, you could summarize their game as, like, some kind of game that's out there. You know, like, they're actually playing a different game. Like Vanessa was playing poker. You know what I mean? Like, she's making side deals. She tried to chop the pot, which she's not allowed to do. You know, there's like, she's calculating the odds all the time. I think Monty, to me, is the best example of anyone who's ever entered the Big Brother house playing Go Fish. Like, what you see is what you get, and he's, like, willing to try to work with you, and, like, he's still playing a game. Like, he's not one of these people that comes in and just, like, doesn't play. Like, he's trying to play a game. It's just so rudimentary that, like, everything around it is just kind of, you know.
If he is playing Go Fish, he's basically like, I don't have any five guys, wink. I promise I don't have any fives.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about, like, I bet nobody, it's, you know what's great about Scott, guys, is that nobody would expect me to be super close to him like I am. Like, okay, thanks.
Well,
dope.
You might as well just sever that relationship.
Wow, thanks, Monty. Okay, wow. All right, so interesting stuff there. So, I mean, who knows? We'll see how this safety ceremony stuff plays out. Let's talk about Jason a little bit in this predicament he's in. Looks like he's going to go up on the block. Looks like he's the target. Alex, other than winning the POV, what's the best case scenario for Jason here? What does he need to do to keep himself safe and survive this week?
Well, there's definitely things that can happen. I mean, like I said, I think it remains to be seen. This is a big shoe remaining to fall here when these players realize how big of an impact America has on this game. I mean, they know America votes for the winner, and that's big. But they don't think it's that – I mean, it's not that big. You know, if you play a great game and get to the end with someone beatable, it shouldn't matter. So some people are still playing this like Big Brother. And this is something that really should make everyone, even the people who came in knowledgeable – like, stop and obviously the people who didn't know what they're doing, they're not going to change anything. But yeah, I mean, this is a big thing. So, you know, we don't know exactly how people are going to react to it. I mean, I could definitely see certain characters like the guys, for example, like the cornbreads of the world, like saying like, look, we just need to stick together. Like, we need to ride this out. Like, you know, we get rid of the likable people and then they have to vote for one of us, kind of a thing. But the other side of that is that, right, I mean, you could easily, this is an opportunity here to get on the right side of everything before anything really happens. So if you're an astute player like an Alex, who could easily go either way with your vote, and, you know, he's putting up Danielle, who's like someone you don't really vibe with anyway, I mean, that's a really easy opportunity for you to just get in with Jason and in doing so kind of get in with America, right?
Right. And if you also see that, remember, Cornbread was the guy who infected Jason. And if America puts up Cornbread as the nominee and also makes him a have-not, it's going to be very evident to people like Alex Morgan, Shelby, where we want you to go and what we want you to do. And if you want to be on our side as an America side, then you need to do this. Now, do I like this aspect of the game? Probably not. I mean, I wish we didn't have it, but now that we have it, I'm ready to use it. And I want to make something happen that I want to happen.
Right. Taryn, as of right now, who's in Jason's corner? Like who has his back going into, like, if let's just say hypothetically, just before all this stuff happens, before the veto and all that stuff, who genuinely is looking out for Jason's best interest?
Chrissy is the person who is looking out for him the most. I think she's probably the only person I'd say is like just completely 100% behind him. Neely is probably a close second. And then he also has Danielle to some extent, but she is also tied with Shane, which is obviously not a good thing for Jason. And then people like Scott and Alex kind of like Jason, but they're also very willing to just let him go if that's where the wind is blowing. And then also Shelby likes Jason a little bit. So, like, he does have a fair amount of people surrounding him, but a lot of them have other connections to people who are against him. And that's where he's sort of failing at the moment.
That's true. Weirdly, I think someone that really he vibes well with is Justin. And Justin isn't connected to anyone at all. So, you know, I mean, that's something that Jason maybe could do more with, because that's a vote. I mean, but Justin is going to be such an X factor as long as he's in there, because this guy, I mean, he doesn't really seem he clearly doesn't know what he's doing. He's very entertaining, but he's like just kind of in there for the ride and for like the free rent. And I think everyone else is going to like they're already talking about like, oh, he totally knows this game. He's like a secret genius and all this stuff. Like this is really great. Like, I love that element every time they put in someone who's a doofus and everyone always suspects him to be like this idiot savant.
Can we?
So that's fun to watch.
I want to talk really quickly about Jason, and then we can talk about Justin, because I feel like these are the two people that people want to hear about. So let's talk about Jason first, because I want to know from you guys whether or not you think that it was pre-written before the season even started that Jason was going to be behind the eight ball. Because from what I saw, I think that there were things that he could have done. I think he tried to play a little cute in the beginning. Like, I feel like he needed to be more like Nicole and just, he needed to get the power. He needed to do whatever he needed to do to get the power. And he somehow allowed people he was close to, like Chrissy, to just allow herself to be infected. That irritated me to no end. I mean, I know he can't force her to become HOH, but he could have said, girl, you know, you're not going to be HOH, but you need to stay with me here. Stay, you know, don't ask to be infected by Neely, which is what she did. And then that obviously gave the Alpha Bros the numbers. It just seems to me like he didn't play very hard when I felt like he needed to. And now that it looks like he's going to be nominated, it feels like, again, he's not playing hard. It feels like he's just outside smoking all the time. You saw Devon even tweet. She said, Devon, his best friend, said, I'm ready to be for Jason to lose his cigarettes and be out of them already, because he needs to get up off the couch outside and get in the Big Brother house and have some conversations with people that he needs to get close to. What does that sound like? That sounds like last season when Jason
17.
Was on. Thank you. Exactly. Well, I mean, I'm considering that was last year when he was on and he was outside smoking all the time. Like, I mean, I thought he said he learned. He was on Twitter. He was on podcasts saying, you know, I know what I did wrong. I know I spent too much time talking with my peeps. I spent too much time smoking outside where I wasn't, you know, having any conversations with people that were outside of my little clique. And here he is doing the exact same thing over again. Alex, I heard you talking on a previous podcast about how he won't interact with people who are like hillbillies or southerners. That's Big Brother. You have to interact with people like this. Force yourself to get in there and make them like you. And it just seems like he's not trying. And I'm really having a hard time with him right now.
Alex's line from BB17 where he's like, I ain't going to trust nobody with no penis or something like that. It was really funny.
I will say about Jason, I said this on the previous podcast, but I think if this was Jason as a first timer, if he didn't have if he wasn't the only person in this house as a returning player, I think he's doing really well right now. I wouldn't say that he's not willing to talk to these people because he has made an effort. It just hasn't been quite enough because I don't think he realizes just how much of a hill he has to climb because of the fact that he's a returning player. He's definitely done a lot more than he did last season. And I do think that, you know, this is the first week of the game. This is the first few days of the game. And I don't think he recognized just how hard he needed to start playing out of the gate because normally you wouldn't want to do that. So I don't want to discredit him too much, but yes, he is definitely making mistakes. He's outside for far too long. He's not talking to the right people at
far
the right
too
times.
Long. Like, he's literally, and, like, I mean, that little spot on the couch should have his name on it.
Yeah. And like, basically what he's done is that he hasn't bonded with the people that he needs to work with. And he knows he needs to work with them. Instead, he's gone to them and tried to talk game with them. But with somebody like Monty, who doesn't really understand the game and doesn't respond to logic, it's not working. Monty needs the bond, and he doesn't have the bond. And
exactly.
That's where he's failing.
Yep. I agree.
Do you think, Alex, that Jason winning HOH first in the first week of Big Brother 17 kind of warps his opinion on how to play the first week? Do you think it would have helped him a little bit more had he not have won that? I know he didn't remain HOH because that was a battle of the block season. But, you know, for me personally, I feel like if I went back and played week one, I would know a lot more what to do because I wasn't HOH and I wasn't necessarily safe the first week. Well, I guess I kind of was, but long story short. So what do you think about that? Do you think that impacted him at all? And you think that could help him?
I don't think it impacted him personally. Like, if anything, I think maybe it just worked against him to the sense that, like, a couple of people said, like, oh, he won the first HOH in his season, so we don't want to give him this HOH, you know? So if anything, it just had that, like, a little bit of that effect.
Okay.
But as far as, like, Jason's mindset, I mean, you know, obviously this is different. Like, that was an endurance comp, and this comp is really hard to game. Like, it's not really something, like, you can't, Like I was saying on the other show, like, you can't hide in the shower and, like, try to disappear so people don't give you the thing. Like, I mean, I guess you could try, but if people say, like, I'm giving this to whoever, like, it doesn't matter where you are, it's yours. Mm. So it's not something you could have gamed too easily. I did notice, if you're watching, like, the comp back, that Shane stands up to drink the thing and Jason has stood up at the same time. Like, Jason was ready to go for it.
Right.
And he sees Shane go for it and he's like, you know what, I don't want to start a fight about it. And it turns out, like, and I would have suggested that, like Brent said, he should have gone for HOH. I would have thought drinking the thing is the move. I mean, you know, of course there's a twist, but you don't necessarily know that for sure. So I think that him, like, standing up in that moment shows enough awareness that he felt like, okay, like, it's valuable for me to win this thing. And you can certainly tell in the last couple of days that he knows he's the target and he knows he has some work to do. It's fortunate for him that, you know, this America's element is going to come into play. And, you know, we'll see if he can really capitalize on it, because it will like, create cracks. You know what I mean? People think they're solid now, but this is going to shatter perceptions and it'll create room and he'll have opportunities to wiggle through.
Let's talk about Danielle a little bit here. She's in this showmance with Shane that you guys mentioned. How far along is this showmance, Brent? Are they hanging out, like,
24/7? Of course you have to ask me. Hell if I know. I was just asking people today, like, are they working together? It seems like
okay.
They're kind of close.
Well, Brent,
like,
yeah. I will pass this to Taryn.
I am weakest on Shane and Danielle,
okay.
I would just say.
Well,
I feel like I'm having flashbacks to Big Brother 14.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, Taryn, then you fill
We've gotten
us in,
so
my
many
friend.
Showmances, we're finally repeating them. It's
Thank
happened,
you,
right?
Oh, and speaking of names, actually, from past seasons, I did have a theory. You know, maybe Monty is a secret super fan, and the reason why he wants to nominate Danielle and Jason is to, because he's really scared of them never being nominated after what happened in Big Brother 3. So you never know. Maybe he's a super, super genius. But yes,
Could
Shane
be.
And Danielle.
Be, of course.
Shane and
yes.
Danielle, they are very close, and they've been hanging out. They've been very, you know, very close physically. Nothing serious, but they've touched here and there. There's some chemistry. Everybody considers them a package deal pretty much already, and people are already concerned about it. Will it go further? I don't know. Is Danielle going to go home this week? Maybe. So, but yes, it definitely seems like it's continuing to progress.
Okay. Has there been any physical? Has there been any making out? Is there any Figgy and Taylor style of getting together, Alex? Or no?
No sand in the drawers.
No.
Like, not that I've seen. But then again, like, that's not what I don't, like, go back and check the timestamps at night for, like, I wonder if, where are their hands? You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I watch this show for. So I'm sorry.
I thought that's exactly why
there's a contingent of listeners out there that crave this information. And I do apologize to that block, but. Yeah, I have to do more due diligence on that.
By the way,
my viewing patterns are not conducive to.
They have not made out.
What I do watch the feeds for, however, is some Justin walking out of the shower butt ass naked. That was fun today. If you guys haven't seen this, by the way, I love this guy. Oh my god! I know he does not care. That's the best part about it. He just doesn't give an F. He walks out of the shower totally butt ass naked. Doesn't care. Pictures are all over Twitter. He's a fine-ass looking man, and he's so charming. Like, he's so funny. If you listen to his stories, if you guys haven't watched the feeds, I just light up anytime Justin is on there. And I thought I was going to hate him initially because he had this thing initially about he didn't want to sleep in a bed with another guy, which I thought was really, really slightly homophobic. And I was like,
and he also didn't want to be called girl.
Right? I know. Exactly. I forgot about that one, too. That was something I read on Twitter when I was still out in Vegas. But it seems like he's, like, toned it down a little bit. And, like, I cannot help but like him at this point. And I'm hoping that everybody feels the same way I do, because he's really – not only is he really handsome, but he's really fun to watch. And where do they find these people? How do they find this guy?
This is the first person ever in the Big Brother house who's got, like, a history with, like – male prostitution and crack cocaine.
Wait, good. My hopes are strong. My hopes are strong, JP.
Oh, yes.
Better every, right? Every Thank season. You. I yes. tell you.
Okay. Well, speaking of Justin, we got a question in from Showmance on Twitter. Showmance says, hey, do you guys stay up for Justin's late night comedy act? Some early rise feedsters have no idea of his appeal. Hashtag BBOTT, hashtag RHAP. Taryn, have you seen this late night comedy act from Justin that we can add to his repertoire of great things he's bringing to the show?
Of course. I mean, I don't stay up for it, but I go back and watch it. I mean, he's a huge character. Like, this is what he was brought on for. I'm not as entertained by him as I think lots of people are, but he's definitely very entertaining. You know, he has just ridiculous stories, and he really entertains the people around him too. And, you know, he talks about the size of things on his body. He talks about bicycle wrecks. He talks about
selling crack cocaine. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's all over the place. He has no shame whatsoever. And he's just like, just very blunt about everything. I think it's probably very refreshing to a lot of people who get really tired of the people who are very closed off and conservative in front of the cameras.
Okay. This is going to be a horrible thing to say, but screw it. Like, If there was some way to tie it in with charity and, like, have a situation prepared for afterwards and make it, like, a legitimate thing that it's not just, like, for pure entertainment and shock value, I would be all about, like, Big Brother with only homeless people. I think that would be really great. Based on the life that Justin has lived. I would be fascinated to see that. Absolutely fascinated. Like, what a study in human behavior.
Oh my god. Okay, maybe reformed homeless people that are, like, no longer homeless.
Oh,
maybe that's
gosh,
a little better.
That's too funny. That's something I would say.
I did not see that coming.
No,
and,
I didn't either, Alex.
I would start the GoFundMe today. And, you know, again, in the most tasteful way possible, which is impossible, so I know it's terrible. Like, I was doomed the moment I said it, but...
Okay. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
The views of Kidwell are not the views of RHAP and the Happy Hour.
Yeah, we got to start getting that little disclaimer at the start of the YouTube video, like it is on the feeds that they've done since BB15. Let's go quickly back to the showmances. Taryn, other than Shane and Danielle, is there anything else really blossoming in the house? I mean, it seems like, you know, Alex has a boyfriend at home, but
yeah,
there's a lot of
she does.
There's a, you know, we talked. Yeah, right. The three of us, you know, it's funny. We worked the late shift on Wednesday, Taryn, Alex, and I, and we did the podcast. It was an hour, and then we stayed up for like another like hour and a half just talking about stuff. And one of the things we talked about was how attractive this cast is. It's really, really good looking. So there's got to be something else brewing, right?
I mean, that you make our conversation sound very insidious, but
yeah, we talked about much more, but that was one of the things we talked about.
But for the most part, no. Monty has been, or I should say, Shelby has been flirting with Monty as a game thing. She's not very interested in him, as far as I can tell, like on a genuine level.
Good.
But he's seen it, and he's been like, "Oh, I can play this up too. Like, if I wanted to, I could get Shelby on my side." But I don't think that's ever going to become a real thing in any capacity. And beyond that, I don't think there's any other possibilities for any sort of showmances.
Wow. No other possibilities for other showmances, Alex. Yeah. You agree?
I don't really see it. I mean, Justin's open. That's the thing. Like, he's just so casual and so go with the flow. Like, I'm loving him as a character.
So does he go both ways or no? Do we know?
I haven't heard any. I mean, he's just got so many stories that who knows? He may uncork one at some point. But no, I haven't heard anything to that degree yet.
Good word choice.
Thank you.
Okay.
But again, like, this is a guy who's spent a large portion of his life living homeless, and he's fascinating. Like, I'm just loving listening to him, listening to his stories, listening to his life. So that's
so
what
how
I'm,
did so I find this
so how, so engaging. Right?
How did he get out of being homeless? Was it this restaurant that he made? Or this, like, stand that he has?
Yeah, and then also, like, you know, I don't necessarily, like, I'm sure he's got an apartment stuff now, but, like, he seems like a very casual, kind of free-spirited guy. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to learn, like, if after he gets out of the house, he's going to go, like, crash on a buddy's couch for a couple months or something. Like, that seems to be his style, you know? And that's, like, it's like Bill Posley on Survivor. Like, there is a percentage of Americans out there that are just so carefree and go with the flow that they're just like, yeah, I don't know what's going on tomorrow, man, or where I'm going to be or where I'm going to be sleeping, but it's like an adventure, man. And it's the journey, you know, not the destination, bro. And like, I don't know. I'm interested by that. I really am.
Like a Vince.
Yeah, like a Vince Sly. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, Vince Sly type, right.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so interesting there on Justin. Maybe we'll have him on the podcast in the off-season. Oh, we can hear his life story. Yeah, yeah.
I'll bring him and Godfrey on the same podcast.
Ooh, that would be a very interesting podcast. Lots of good stories. Let's talk about the sisters here, Alex and Morgan. Brent, we haven't got your take on them so far and how they're playing things. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking they're doing a good job or you think they're doing a bad job of things so far?
Well, I mean, obviously they're doing a good job because no one's really caught on to the fact that they're sisters. On the other hand, I don't know how these people don't realize that they are not sisters. How do you not see this? I mean, they kind of even talk the same way. They look like the same girl. I have trouble telling them apart as I'm watching the feeds. I don't understand how they don't see that. They're both from Texas. Jason has played Big Brother with twins before. He knows Big Brother can do this. Maybe he thinks, oh no, they wouldn't do it to me again, or they both wouldn't be in the house together. I'm like, bitch, did you not see Big Brother Canada? Like, you know that they can do stuff like this. I don't understand how it's completely gone over everybody's head. Maybe they'll slip up and it'll come out sometime, but I'm really impressed with them so far, and I'm very impressed with Alex. I mean, she is somebody who I think would be amazing on a regular Big Brother season. I'm interested to see how she's going to adapt her game to a new Big Brother game where America has a very large hand in it.
Taryn, you mentioned on the previous podcast on Friday with Rob that Alex called Morgan Mo. So there's a little bit of a slip up there. Shelby kind of noticed it, but they kind of played it off. Has there been any other close calls since then, or are they still riding pretty good with this?
They're riding good, you know. No close calls. If anything, it's gotten even smoother. And you know, if Jason goes home this week, that's really the only person that's even having any sort of conversations about how they look so alike and how that might be suspicious. So they might be set at that point. And yes, it's really a huge power for these two to have, because Alex, from what we've seen, is a pretty phenomenal player so far. Be still my beating heart, Alex. Like, you know, why do you have a boyfriend? But like, she's doing very, very well. She's positioned by far the best in the house. She's had, she's had a lot of talks with Scott today. Scott is another person who's doing really well. And she's getting in with him. Reminds me a lot of like Mitch and Joel in the early parts of Big Brother Canada 4. She's in with this Girl Alliance, which is her, Morgan, Whitney, and Chad. Shelby, which seems to be the powerhouse of the house at the moment. She's also in with the guys. She's very tight with Monty, who trusts her. She's tight with Shane, and that leads into people like Cornbread, and again, as I've said, with Scott. So, I mean, like, she has a lot of control right now. My concern is it too much too fast, and how is she going to handle the America Votes thing? But from what I've seen, she's probably the most capable player in that house.
Kidwell, you tweeted on late last week that you said that Sister Alex would be great at a regular BB season, but she doesn't 100% get what's going on in this version of the game, so she could maybe suffer a little bit as a result of that. Have you changed your tune on that at all now that the weekend has passed, or are you still thinking that Alex might not be as big of a front runner as we are thinking she is so far because of the format?
Yeah, no. Having more information, having more conversations of hers to analyze, I definitely, do not think that she's as clueless to this format as maybe I first thought. I definitely think that she is probably in her and Scott really are in the best position to Arlie this thing and really kind of float with the America power, and that's kind of where you want to be.
Okay, so there you go. So talk about Scott a little bit then, Alex. What have you been really liking about Scott? What is he doing that's differing himself from Alex? Are they kind of, like Taryn said, is he kind of doing is this the new Mitch and Joel thing from Big Brother Canada, where these two people are kind of in the exact same position? They both kind of know what each other is doing, but they're kind of just chilling for now and are both in good positions.
Yeah, I'd say the only real difference is that Scott is in this like other alliance that, Jason tried to put together that is kind of legit, I suppose. And Alex isn't, but yeah, for the most part, I mean, they're both, playing all sides of the house, and yeah, they're both aware of each other. I think it's a pretty apt comparison. Scott to me is just like, it's so crazy that everyone, there was a conversation today where they're saying like, God, Scott is so likable. He's going to be here a long time. And it's like, why? Like, why is this working? But yeah, I mean, it's watching Scott is surprising because he has a lot more charisma and social ability than I would have expected, or I probably gave him credit for in the preseason interview, which of course, like, the whole point of what we do there is just to like pick apart like people's bios and try to find ways that they might be bad. So yeah, I mean, he looks good.
All right, Taryn, quickly, I would throw this to Brent, but because Brent's still catching up on things, I want to figure out what the alliances are in the house as of right now.
Oh,
things
I know that.
So Brent, thank you. Then feel free to jump in. Lay out the alliances for us, if you could, please, and what the names of the markets. I've seen a few names and things floating around here.
Obviously, there's, I don't know, did the Four Boys have a name?
They call themselves the Four Horsemen.
But that's what I thought. But I thought, oh, they can't do that. Like,
yeah,
oh,
that
my
doesn't
God.
Count.
Okay. Well. Okay. Well.
It
obviously.
But...
Right. Well. Okay. But I mean, I
guess
I heard,
it does. It does. But
I
like,
heard Cornbread say that like it was a newfangled thing, and I'm like, girl, stop. Like, I can't believe Big Brother's letting them say that. But okay, fine. Like, you think they would have told them in the diary?
First
like,
of all, it was never new. It's in the Bible.
I know. But... I know. Okay. So
I would, seriously though, like poor Jace, who has just been screwed over so much in Big Brother.
Yeah.
Like, some dude named Cornbread is stealing his alliance name now. Like,
God, 2016 has not been kind to Jace.
World's smallest violin for Jace right here, people. Anyway, so these four boys are together working loosely. Monty, Shane, Cornbread, and Scott. Scott is sort of like in the middle of the house, like the Alex and Taryn talked about. He's also with the OTT Jamboree, which is more of a loose conglomeration of Shelby, Justin, Chrissy, Jason, and fifth one is anybody know? I forget. Somebody's in there.
Did you say Justin?
Chrissy?
I said those
two.
Chrissy? Yeah. That's fine. Whatever.
Who knows? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. They're basically the people on the outside. And then
it's a loose alliance. It doesn't even seem like that's
right.
Too
Monty and Shane are also working with Alex and Morgan and Danielle to a degree. They're called the Southerners.
Is it Whitney in that one too?
Is she in that one too?
I saw on a chart that Whitney was
maybe,
on it,
yeah,
maybe
like
not.
Like Whitney is definitely that trio of Alex, Whitney, and Morgan. The guys Shane and Monty, they think that they have them sort of separate and like they can kind of control
brigade
them
style.
But it's obviously the opposite, where they also have Shelby as a fourth, and they're also very tight. And even, you know, obviously the sisters. So yeah, that's they've pulled that together as like, oh, let's get all the Southerners together,
right? And then the four girls are working together. Obviously, Alex and Morgan are working together, and they're working with Shelby and Whitney, right? Or Wheatney, as people say. People actually spelled Wheatney, like, yeah, as in, like, you know, wheat, like the
yes, yeah, phonetically
and,
correct.
And I was like, what is this? I thought this was an alliance name. I'm like, what is this? It literally took me like 10 seconds. Like, oh, okay, you're talking about Whitney. Okay, now I'm with you now. Okay, and then obviously there's the, I think they're calling themselves the Jack-O-Lanterns of Neely, Chrissy, and Jason, who are the three, I would call them the three people that are most on the outside at this point, who are working together. By the way, I am really impressed with Scott, because I feel like he would naturally be on the outside, but he's a really charming guy, and he's been able to get in with people that, you know, I think I was really surprised, like, when I saw that there were four quote-unquote bros working together, and Scott was one of them. I was like, that's kind of new. I would have expected somebody like Justin to be in with them. But yeah, no, it's Scott. Yeah, so that's
interesting.
That's basically the layout of the house at this point.
So the girls, I read that the girls' alliance of those four is called the Plastics after,
yes,
Mean
the
Girls.
The Plastics. Oh, I love that name. How can
so
I forget
that? So
that
is an amazing name. Amazing name.
I believe that's just what the audience is calling them. I don't think they call themselves the
boo.
Plastics. And it was meant to be derogatory because they're against Jason or whatever.
But I love that name. Like, if I could,
that's such a good
Lindsay,
I know, Lillian, right? Like, JP,
that is like. Well, I mean, people ripped on me all the time because I wanted to make alliances that were like based off of like TV shows and movies. So
right.
This is
cobras.
Right up. Yeah, Purple Cobras, Newport. I wanted to name one alliance Bayside. I never did. But like that I think, you know, yeah, the Plastics is a great, great name. So it sucks that they didn't actually come up with that themselves. Because I thought, yeah, when I heard that, I was like, oh, maybe it was Shelby because she's perfect in every way. So maybe she came up with this amazing name. But,
what did we call Jackie and Meg and Jason? Like, didn't we call them something on the outside, but they weren't calling themselves that on the inside? I want to say there's been times in Big Brother history where fans have called people something that was a better name than anything they ever came up with in the house. And I think, like, I feel like the Plastics is definitely one of them. Anyway, I love those people. And, you know, the people that we all hate, I feel like, and I feel like it's violent. It is odd to me how united the fan base, because it's basically the feeders. You know, if you watch the show, you've got to be like us. You can't be some casual viewer like my sister or something. You've got to watch Big Brother online, sign up, pay for it, get the feeds, and figure out how to watch these shows either 24/7 or like somehow put together the recaps and some summaries online. I mean, that is hard to do. So the people who are voting for this are going to be the people like us. So that does give me a little bit of, I don't know, warmth in my heart, because at least it's not going to be the casuals rewarding, you know, crapola people that we don't like. Like when Corey beat Paul and Victor for the care package, it's probably going to be people that the fan base is behind. And I like that.
And I do want to say, I'm seeing that it was Jason that called them the Plastics. They do not call themselves the Plastics.
Okay, so the name is in the house, though. That's good. I like that.
Good. Yeah. And the girls have shied away from naming or even just like really officially solidifying their alliance. I think in part because they're wary of the all-girl alliance sort of stigma. They just want to see. They know they have each other's backs and they're grouped together, a
right,
voting block, so to speak.
That's smart.
No,
I like
no
that.
Official alliance. Yeah.
I like that because the girls in Big Brother 18, I feel like a lot of them were brought down or, you know, stigmatized by the fact that, oh, you were in this alliance called the Fatal Five, or you were in this alliance called, you know, the Eight Pack or whatever, you know, whatever. If you give it a name, it gives it some sort of credibility. If you just say, like, look, I wasn't in an alliance with her. She's just my friend. You know, if there's no name, then I feel like you have plausible deniability to say, you know, we're not as close as you think we are. Whereas if you give it a name, and then that name gets out, I feel like that it works to your detriment. So I'm kind of behind that, actually, not giving it a name.
All right, let's jump into some of your questions, guys. You can get those in by tweeting me. I'm at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. You can use hashtag RaHappyHour, and we are just going to get into some of those. If you get those in right now, I might not be able to get to all of them, but I will try my best if something really good pops up. Don't forget as well, got the chat room going on robbizawebsite.com. Well, it usually is on robbizawebsite.com. Don't have it there today. Chatwing.com/RaHappyHour. First question comes from Andy Shum. Andy says, what do you think of Monty's HOH gameplay so far? Because I hate him. I hate him a lot. Well, you guys talked a little bit already about how much you don't like Monty, so I'm going to change this a little bit. Scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank or how would you rate Monty's HOH, Alex?
2, 1.
Right. I would give it like a 3, only because, you know, the rest of the house doesn't hate him at this point. At least he's still somewhat liked by some people in the house, and they don't outright dislike him. So there's that. It doesn't look like he would be an obvious target next week, at least at this point. I mean, who knows how things can change, but at this point, I feel relatively good about him going into next week. It's not been good because he's giving... Look, again, it's like LaVita in Big Brother Canada, where you wanted something to happen, you have a clear target, and then you decide to get cute about it and not put who you need to put up on the block next to them. Instead, you want to put a pawn up so that, you know, everybody's happy, but in doing so, you leave yourself vulnerable to being totally double-crossed by the other people in the house who know you can't play for HOH the next week, and now you're the target. So that's where I think he could be in some trouble.
Yeah, I'd say 3.
Yeah,
great.
Okay. You definitely can't go 1 because he's not like, I mean, there is certainly room to get worse. Right. Like, yeah. He's pouring pitchers of iced tea on everyone's head on an hourly basis. So,
hey, fair. there's still
get worse.
There's still time, Alex.
Okay. There's always Devin until there's new Devin, and then there's new Devin. And
I can't wait for new Devin because Devin was the greatest I've ever seen. So I can't imagine in terms of entertainment. So I can't wait to see what's better than him. Okay, BB Thundercat. BB Thundercat says, are you loving, like I'm loving, the mandatory 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. no sleep rule? I actually didn't know about this, Taryn. That's a very Big Brother Canada thing.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that, again, like the show is the feeds, so they want to keep them up until a certain time. And, you know, people like Jason and some of these late night crew people have been staying up very late. And Jason in particular, who doesn't even have a good bed to sleep on, has been really suffering.
What the hell is up with
sleep-wise.
That? Can we stop right there? How in the hell is he sleeping on the floor? How did this happen? Taryn, tell me how.
He was the last person in the house, basically.
So why can't he get into bed with somebody else? There's no bed.
Yeah,
for
nobody.
Him?
Yeah, that's also a very good point. Like nobody wants to share with him. They're just like, yeah, sleep on the floor. No big deal.
That main room has like 2 doubles and 1 single, and it's usually 3 doubles, right? And then I just feel like there's usually more bed space.
So is there really no room for him at all? Is there really none? Because isn't somebody sleeping upstairs with Monty, or is there nobody up there stairs with him?
Someone, well, I think, is going to sleep on Monty's couch tonight. Shane, maybe.
Oh, and now, Morgan, now maybe. Jason might have a bed now.
Yeah, somebody's going to do that.
I mean, like, I feel like Jason is just, you know, like, okay, when I'm trying to like put this in words people can understand. Like when I was in the army, you know, like I went in the army, and when I was 25, and like I was, you know, obviously not in the in crowd when I was in high school. And I feel like when I went in the army, all of those feelings from high school came flooding back because everybody kind of like starts clicking with the people that they're naturally clicking with, and you don't really know where you fit in. So you kind of give in to that stereotype of yourself. And what I quickly found out was the more I put myself out there and got to know people, the more I found out that I fit in with these people more than I think. And I feel like Jason isn't doing a good enough job of trying to, I feel like he's giving in to the stereotype a little bit, like, oh, I don't fit in with these people. They don't really like me for a variety of reasons. I'm an outcast. I'm not one of the pretty people. I'm a vet, all those different reasons. And I feel like he should be doing a better job of forcing himself to integrate more with them. But I don't know. I think I still have a problem with Jason because, remember, I auditioned for this show and Jason said in the house that when they called him up, he was totally blown away. He was like, you couldn't find any other gay guys to throw in the house. And I'm like, apparently not. So, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm a little bitter with him at this point. He's taking my spot. Right.
Okay. Okay. Let's take the next question. @talkingbbott says, What are your first impressions on Shane? Does he have a potential to be the potential to be a gamer? Could he turn on Monty in the Plastics? Could he be interesting or no? Alex? Shane, yes or no? Is he the Shane that sucks like I thought he was?
Yeah, I guess. And that seems hard to do, but...
He's worse than Shane Meany? Really? Wow. That's
bad. Yeah. Shane Meany was a good player early on. There's that, yeah.
But I guess, I guess you are right. Like, he is replacement level.
Shane is just like... he's pretty vanilla guy. Like, I just don't get a lot from him.
I agree. He's a very vanilla
guy. Not deep. Not a lot of layers.
And I thought I would, too. Like, I mean, he looks like the kind of guy who has a lot of stories who you want to get to know. He looks very charming. But he's so bland. And I have to feel like Big Brother feels like they whiffed on this one. Like they bought in with the abs and the long hair, but that doesn't go very long on the feeds, I'll tell you.
I think that Shane right now, I think he does have potential. His personality, I think he fits in well with this house, and I think that he has somewhat of a head for the game, but not in the right way. Like, he doesn't know it well enough, so he's buying into what Monty is selling. I think in different circumstances, if he can survive this Monty thing and then Monty goes, he gets in with people who know the game better and can give him better advice. He's a much more deadly player. Not that he's going to be anywhere near actually deadly, but I do think that he does have some potential in other circumstances. Right now, he's effectively useless, though.
Yeah, effectively useless is, I feel like, a good way to describe him, right? I mean, he's like, he's there, but yeah, that's about it. Okay, Edward Morris, Edmo, our buddy, he says, do you think future HOH comps will be like the first one? Yeah, I mean, I kind of think they will be, right, Brent? I mean, it's cheap to make something like that. It's entertaining. People liked it. And if they fought like that for the first one, it makes me think they're going to try to do something like that for future ones, no?
Possibly. I don't think they're going to... I mean, this HOH was basically in the hands of the house guests. I mean, they could decide who they wanted to be HOH by playing the game a certain way. And I by the way, I do disagree with Alex a little bit because he said, you know, it was a really hard HOH game to game. And I don't feel like it really was. Like, once you have the majority, you can control who's going to be HOH as long as you keep giving it to the other side. Like, once you have the numbers, you have the numbers. And I feel like a lot of people in this... They tried to get too cute, and by the time they realized that, we need to start playing the game, they had lost the numbers, and then Monty became HOH. So I don't know that they're going to do it, you know, obviously. I think they'll find a way that they'll do an elongated competition over the feeds based on the timing that I'm seeing, because like it looks like we're going to have a show at like 8 o'clock and then like an HOH competition at 9 o'clock. It looks like it's going to go on for a bit of time, but I don't know how long that's going to be.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Again, we're working with a lot of, it's the first week.
We're learning.
Exactly. We're learning on the fly here, so we will we'll see how it goes. Don't have all of the information at this point. Next question is from Ashley Bedazzle. Ashley says, if Chrissy can find a shirt to cover all of her tattoos, why can't she manage to find one to cover her chest? Taryn, do you know what Ashley's referring to?
Sorry, I missed the name. Was it Chrissy? Yeah.
Chrissy, yes.
I don't know. I don't keep a big eye on Chrissy's chest or anything.
Okay. Brent, do you? Alex,
well, I mean,
do
her,
you?
Her chest is always out there, I think is what they're getting at. And she, you know, obviously she finds shirts to cover up all these tattoos, and yet her bazooms are like out there like knockers every day. So, if she could find a few more like pieces of fabric to cover up those, I'd be eternally grateful to her. Justin, on the other hand, you can take off all your clothes all you want.
Alex, anything to add there?
Not really.
Alex is staying out of this one.
Yeah, he's good. Right. He's yeah.
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Okay. By all means.
By the
friend.
Way,
okay.
Can we talk really Go quickly? Ahead, and I'm hoping somebody asks about this in the questions. I wanted to know what you guys thought of Shelby, because she is my other favorite person. I love her. She's so bitchy. She's but in a really, really fun way, kind of like Janelle. She seems to be able to get along with a wide variety of people. She's extremely smart. Like, Taryn, I heard you talking about Alex, the girl in the house earlier. Like, I can't believe she has a boyfriend. But I'm like, what about Shelby? Like, Shelby is like somebody who is like really, really attractive. I mean, she turns my head. So I have to think you're liking what you're seeing from Shelby. Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying. I
mean, oh, okay. Well, people always complain that I'm like, oh, you're always talking about the guys. You never talk about the good looking girls in the house. Like, and Shelby is my kind of girl. She's got a little bit of attitude to her. She carries herself like a woman, and she knows that she's got power. I like that.
Yeah, I think yeah, I think Shelby has got to be, guys, the consensus favorite of most of the fans, at least of the newbies, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
So have you seen the Joker's rankings, Taryn or Alex?
She's number one.
She's number one. Okay, oh, good. So there you go. Yeah. So I figured, do you have the top? Do you have the rankings?
I do. I have. Yeah, it's the people that we love. Shelby's number one. Jason's number two. Justin's number three. Alex is number four. That's perfect. That's exactly how I feel. And Cornbread and Monty are at the bottom where they should be.
Cornbread getting stale.
Right. Well, one thing about Cornbread that I didn't mention that I meant to is that he's the uncle of Honey Boo Boo. Did you guys see this? Like Honey Boo Boo from the TLC show.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, of course he's trying to
mention it. I see the resemblance.
God,
yeah. Honey Boo Boo's uncle is on Big Brother, and his freaking name is Cornbread, and he's doing this. It's like, oh my gosh. Brent, what is it like specifically? You did mention he said some off color things. Has that been just a recent development? Has that been a thing that you've been hearing, like, that's been going on for a while from what you've seen?
Well, no, it's been a recent development, but I feel like, you know, a guy like him, the longer he's in the house with 24/7 feeds, I feel like it's only a matter of time before he says something really terrible. I mean, like, if you go on, look, he went on the feeds and said that, I think he was talking about the price of something, and he said they tried to Jew me down. That's what he said, okay? And a lot of people took offense to that, right? Of course they did, right? I told my partner about that, who my partner's Jewish, and I said, like, would you be offended if somebody said this? He's like, hell yeah, I'd be offended. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure I was in the right ballpark there. He said a few other things that I won't get into, but I just feel like it's like, I feel like he's underestimating how much the fans see everything. Yeah. And you can say something to a friend of yours, and all of these people are quickly becoming his friends. And, you know, we all say things. I say things to my friends that I wouldn't say in public. Okay. And I feel like he's sort of forgetting that there's 96 cameras that are watching him, and he needs to watch his mouth, because you put it out there and people are going to crucify you for it. And I feel like it's only a matter of time before he really gets himself in trouble.
Yeah, not good, Cornbread. Not good.
Not good. Not good,
no,
Rob.
No. We don't like seeing that. So hopefully Cornbread cleans his act up a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, I hope people don't try to get him. Yes, that is despicable. You shouldn't say anything like that.
I don't think it's reached that point yet.
I hope people don't get on the, like, oh, let's fire Cornbread, blah, blah, blah. Like, I really hope it doesn't get to that.
I think it would have to, like, catch a point where TMZ takes interest.
Right,
and
exactly.
I don't know if Big Brother Over the Top is ever going to reach that viral level. It remains to be seen.
What's happened with Cornbread is he seems to be the consensus pick for America to nominate as the third nominee. And I did just want to weigh in on this, because I feel like, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk in the house about how Cornbread is somebody that's on their radar as a target pretty quickly, because they feel like if he gets to the end, he's going to win hands down. They feel like his stories are so great. He's so likable. You know, he's got to be a target soon because he's just way too likable. If you put him up on that block, I don't think anybody's sending him home, and I think you've just given him a pass for this entire game. Like, I'm cautious about that. And especially if Danielle goes up on the block next to Jason, all of a sudden you're going to have Shane campaigning to keep Danielle in the house, and he's going to be able to do it from off the block. I really feel like Shane is probably the better option if you want to send a message to Monty, because Shane is his number one. If you want to save Jason, because it means that Danielle and Shane are both on the block, and that campaigning power doesn't have as much power. And just in general, if you want to stick it to Cornbread, don't give him this easy out.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen. I feel like most people.
I know.
You make a valid point. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just. But Shane is so vanilla that people are not going to be motivated to vote against him. They're just not. And even if it's by way of, you know, by proxy of trying to get to Monty, they're not going to do that. They're going to go after Cornbread for him being a general asshole and saying some things that are a little off color / possibly towing the line to racist, and they're going to go after him. That's just what's going to happen. So if the nominee is anybody other than Cornbread, I will be stunned. As long as Danielle is up on the block, because I know a lot of people are thinking about trying to get Danielle on the block, and of course it looks like Monty's going to do it for us. So, you know, if Monty doesn't nominate Danielle, then obviously I think she could be a possible nominee as well by America.
All right, let's take the next question. This one's from Trent Williams. Trent says, what are the chances of the Whitney, Alex, Morgan, and Shelby alliance, the Plastics, lasting? None of them seem to be too catty towards each other. So, yeah, this is interesting. I mean, Taryn, you mentioned that, you know, that maybe they're approaching this as sort of a voting block because of the stigma about all-girl alliances. But, you know, based on what I've seen, I feel like I'm with Trent. I think that this could actually be a thing, Alex. I think these guys could work together, especially because, you know, you got two siblings in it.
Right, that's the thing. Alex and Morgan are locked in, and then you've got Alex and Whitney are really tight, and then Morgan and Shelby are really close as well. So by extension, like, Shelby and Whitney aren't necessarily close, but it's just kind of the way this works as extension of the sisters. And yeah, it does kind of work. And oh, I wanted to add, when we were talking about, you know, Taryn mentioned a lot of people would look at Cornbread as a target, but Shelby's reasoning would be that Shelby thinks Cornbread is the type who's going to leave turds in the toilet and not flush. And that got back to Cornbread, and Cornbread was not happy to hear that. And that's like created a rift between Cornbread and Shelby now.
Well, you know,
Cornbread was very offended to hear that he might be the type of guy that would just leave poop toilet.
What did he say specifically? Was he like, I wouldn't do that? Like, what was he?
He was pissed.
He was pissed. I'm pissed.
I haven't seen this. I need to go back and watch this.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, you gotta find this.
Oh, my God.
Was this today? Because I want to go watch this, too.
Was this I think it was earlier today.
Earlier today. Okay.
Right. Sorry for getting a little like Uncle Austin's trailer here.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
No, it's I mean, you know, the show is the feeds here, and right. Like honestly, like it was one of the highlights of the day. I mean, there's a lot of downtime and a lot of boring talk. When you get something like that, and not only that, but it does affect the game because it has created a rift between Cornbread and Shelby, so we have to talk about it. But yeah, I mean, this is the ridiculousness of this game. Like,
was Shelby that said that about Cornbread? Shelby?
Yeah, Shelby's okay, like, okay. You know, she's funny. She's
right,
like making
right.
And then
right.
Somebody like, you know, brought it back and told Cornbread about it, and he did not find it funny.
Okay.
Another great Shelby quote. She was talking to Monty, and he was like, yeah, I have like an inner fat person or something. Sometimes I like
I
indulge
that.
On some almonds.
What an
and
idiot.
She was like, I want to slap you in the face right now.
And then he was like, almonds are junk food. Like it's got some fat in it. And yeah, it's bad for you. And then Shelby just like walked out and left. It was so great. Yeah, Monty isn't. Monty's just. I'm not a
fan. Shelby
is
.
Yeah, Monty. Yeah, Shelby's like, yeah, all right.
Can we?
Awesome.
I want to let's hashtag
like,
that.
Yeah.
Monty is and Shelby is.
Yeah, if you can somehow figure out how to do that as a hashtag, maybe we'll do that as the hashtag for the show. Okay, let's take a couple more questions. This one is from Katie Blue. Katie says, "The HOH comp had more of a social aspect to it. Do you think the veto comps will be that way too?" So. I mean, again, kind of similar to what that HOH question we had earlier. But I don't
no,
know. Like, is there,
I don't think
been,
so. No.
When is the veto comp? It's on Tuesday?
The veto comp is on Monday at 1 Big Brother time. And then the veto meeting is exactly 24 hours later.
Okay.
So,
so there hasn't been any sign that they're building the competition yet, right?
Right. And so I think there's definitely a chance. I don't think that there's going to be like built competitions necessarily. It seems like they're all going to be these kinds of party games.
I don't know.
Which
though.
Is interesting. But are the question is, are they going to draw them out like they did with the HOH comp?
Well, I don't think that. I mean, look, I mean, if Jason needs a lifeline and you know production wants to keep him, they're not
of
going
course.
To put in a game where he has no chance. Something like there's been games in the past like the stay or fold competition or the one where you pick who you want to target competition. I mean, all those kind of games would be an instant out for Jason. He needs something where it's a level playing field, where he has a chance, just as much of a chance to win as anybody else, where he doesn't have to go five rounds with somebody in order to get to the end. And I feel like they're not going to do something where, you know, because the other five people in the house or in the or I guess it's going to be five or six total people for the HOH or for the veto competition rather, they are going to know, as long as we all work together to make sure Jason doesn't win the veto, then all of us are safe. So obviously those people would probably be inclined to work together. So I feel like production knows that and consequently would not put in a competition where Jason can't win it if it's a social experiment where there are like horse trading and stuff well, like that.
I don't think it necessarily has to be like what we saw with the infection, where it was basically they got to decide. It could be like something like a scavenger hunt throughout the house. It could be some sort of puzzle or some sort of riddle that they need to answer. Okay. I could see any number of things where, you know, each individual has an equal shot.
I feel like all of those things, like a riddle or a scavenger hunt, I feel like all of those things are things that groups of people can work together to, you know, make sure somebody wins the veto. Like, you can share information about a riddle. You can share, you know, items about the scavenger hunt. But Jason would be all by himself. It has to be something where he's level in order for him to have a shot. I feel like production's going to give him a shot.
Well, maybe, but I mean, like, we, for those who watched Whodunit, you know, it's not always the big group, you know, the genius, same sort of thing. Like, it's not always just having a majority, especially if you have the game, you know, balanced correctly.
All right.
Wow, Brent is just—he's folding. Amazing.
Well, I'm not folding. I'm allowing for the possibility that he's correct. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Because I don't know what's coming down the pike.
Yeah. Fair, and none of us do. So it's all speculation at this point. Okay. Last question before we start to wind things down. This one's from Emma. She says, "Has anyone started directly pandering to America yet? If not, who do you think will after nominations?" So we haven't seen that yet. I mean, I don't think we have.
Jason started playing that game right away.
Oh, he did. Okay.
I don't know if you want to call it pandering necessarily, but treating America as the 14th house guest. Yeah, he started doing that the moment he came into the house. The first time. He's literally saying hello to everyone, setting his bag down. The first time he's in a room by himself, he starts talking to the feeds. Like, Jason is acutely aware. I'm sure somebody, you know, he had some idea coming in that this was going to be a different game and that America was going to play a role. So he came in knowing, these are my people and I need to play to the feeds.
When Julie was telling us about Big Brother Over the Top, you know, right when during the finale, she said, you know, America, you're going to have a chance to impact the game weekly. We need to go back and hear exactly what she said, because Jason heard everything she said in that moment. He was right there on stage with Jose. So he knows that she said in Big Brother Over the Top, America's going to have a heavy hand in many of the twists that are coming down the pike. So Jason knows this already. I think that's important to note.
I should say also that Scott and Alex, both Alex in particular, has a good idea of what's probably coming, and Scott also does as well. They've both talked about, you know, in the way that they've talked about the Jason thing, it suggests that they have a good idea that America's probably not going to like it, and they've gone out of their way to try and make it seem like, you know, if we have to, we're sorry, like basically something along those lines. So that's another thing to look out for. They're already playing that game.
All right, so stay tuned to that. More to come, especially after they find out that there is a third nominee coming from America. Speaking of that nominee, guys, we should probably give our endorsement for who people should vote for. I don't know if it'll make that much of a difference, but I'm curious as to what you guys think would make for the best TV, or what you want to see. Or can we call it TV, even though it's not a TV?
Yeah, it's TV. Come on.
TV. Yeah. Okay.
Best all access?
The best all access, exactly. So, Alex, go first. Who should America vote for as the third nominee, in your opinion?
I mean, I do think Taryn's reasoning is sound. I mean, he kind of laid out the case for why it should be Shane, and I definitely agree with that. I think, you know, if you're looking for, and assumedly most people are trying to find a way for Jason to survive week one, then I think that's probably the play.
Brent, you agree with that?
You know, I'm honestly fine with either one. I think both people, Cornbread and Shane, accomplished different goals. I think Cornbread would get his just desserts by being nominated and also probably being a have-not as well. Shane, for the reasons Taryn laid out, which I hadn't really considered before. I mean, I considered nominating Shane as a, you know, way to get to Monty, but I also, you know, kind of, because I said this is my weakest point in the game, was not realizing that Shane and Danielle are as close as they are. And so both of them to be on the block, and obviously Monty doesn't know that there's a third nominee. So I think if he knew that Shane was going to go on the block, or there was a possibility that Shane went on the block, he wouldn't put Danielle up knowing that two of them could go on the block. And those were two numbers that he thought he had that are now on the block.
All right, Taryn, you are going to stick with Shane?
Yeah, and I will also say, because I think we'll also be voting for have-nots, just be aware of, you know, the people you vote for as a have-not, it's probably going to be an advantage to them more than a disadvantage, because they're going to be seen as people who aren't threats, but they're also not going to be in danger, you know, being on the block. People might be a little more wary of working with them just because they don't want to be with the unpopular people, but I honestly think it's probably more of a net positive than a net negative, so be careful of who you put there. If anything, maybe you want to put Jason there. Maybe that takes a bit of a target off of his back. Who knows? And just in general, you know, if you want to protest against the voting, don't vote. That's also an option. That's a way of voting against the voting.
If you do want to vote,
that's terrible. That is a terrible idea.
American way, Brent.
If you don't vote, then you're effectively handing power over to other people who are going to vote, who are stupider than you. So you might as well get out there and vote and have a hand in the competition. This is the game they're presenting us. You might as well play the game.
Where can people vote, Alex, if they want to vote and not follow Taryn's advice?
It wasn't advice. I was just telling them an option if they don't
Taryn's
like the voting.
Option. Sure, we'll call
it
that.
Just, yeah, like cbs.com/shows/Big Brother.
I'm so glad that Fency Fencerton is still here. Like, I wasn't saying that they shouldn't vote. Like, I was just presenting it as an option. It's just a possibility.
It's all possibilities.
Okay, so there you go. So Shane looks like is the endorsement for people to vote for. You can go to a big... just go to the CBS website. That's where you can vote. And voting opens later this evening if you want to get those in. That is going to do it, guys, for this edition of the Happy Hour. First roundtable show we did of the season. So thank you so much for tuning in. We need some hashtag ideas. So for those of you in the chat, if you could brainstorm some stuff, that would be awesome. Would really appreciate that. Just a few housekeeping notes. First thing, subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. That way you can listen to all of the podcasts on iTunes, and it'll show up in your feed all the time when it's working properly. There's been some issues lately, so hopefully things are going okay for the start of this BBOTT season. Just tweet me if you have any issues. So make sure you subscribe there. You can also subscribe now on YouTube by going to robiswebsite.com/YT. You can see the video of this. You can see Taryn's nice plaid shirt. Lots of other good things on the video version of the show, so make sure you check that out if you haven't already. One other thing, we are going to be doing a live show soon, guys. BBOTT Live in New York hasn't officially been announced in terms of where it is and the specific time and stuff like that, but that's going to be coming up in a few weeks, so keep your eyes open for that. If you want to meet Brent, Alex, Taryn, and myself, we will all be in New York City. It should be really fun. We'll be doing a live podcast, so we hope to see some of you guys there. I think it'll be a really fun time. We're going to hope to Rob's hoping to do that back-to-back with the Survivor Know-It-Alls, so stay tuned to robiswebsite.com for that information. And don't forget to tune in Tuesday. Rob's going to be back with another BBOTT show. He's hoping to have Big Meech on, so hopefully that'll be her first time officially on RHAP outside
really?
The backyard interview. Yes.
I heard she was going to take my place there for a while, and said I needed to get my ass back here.
Well, maybe we could have Big Meech and Brent on the same podcast. That would be a lot of fun, right?
Yeah. We should clarify, because some people believed those rumors. Brent is in no danger of losing his job.
Brent's sticking around. We're just joking around.
Exactly. Yeah. I was on vacation for a week. I needed to, like, you know, get away for a little while and go win some money, and I'm back and I'm here, and I'm liking this season so far. I have to say, if I had to make a call, I'm probably going to be here till the end of it, even though I said I probably wasn't, but I really like what I'm seeing from Big Brother. So props to them for exceeding my expectations.
Okay, good. We're happy to hear that, Brent. We don't want to lose you.
Yes.
So that's great news. We don't want to lose Brent. Brent's sticking around. So anyway, stay tuned. Tuesday on Rob is a Podcast. Should be a really fun show. I'm looking at hashtags, guys. And
I liked button discipline.
Button discipline. Okay, so why don't we go with let's go with button discipline, okay? Instead of that's a little too hard to do that. So
you can try it
if you want to. Make sure you follow these guys on Twitter if you don't already. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn, and I am at Jordan Parhart. You can follow me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all that great stuff. And use the hashtag. Tweet us. Let us know what you thought about the episode and leave some comments on robinswebsite.com as well. Love reading your comments and hearing what you guys have to say. I will be back Wednesday night after the live eviction. Tentatively, it's going to be at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. That's past Taryn's bedtime, so I don't believe Taryn will be here, but hopefully Alex and Brent will be up to the task and will be joining me on Wednesday as we discuss who went home, who's going to win HOH, all that kind of stuff. So it should be a really fun show. Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Alex Kidwell, Taryn Armstrong, and Brent Walkman, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag button discipline. Talk to you soon. Take care. The theme song of the reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.